And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu. In studio, Mallory Jacobson from NAMI. First off, Mallory, welcome back to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you for having me back. I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad to have you back because it's such an important month and so many important things are happening, including next week's NAMI walks.
Yes, actually this month is September, is National Suicide Prevention Month.
Right.
So we're trying to get people aware of suicide, aware of how to prevent suicide. And it is also NAMI Walks, October 5th. So that's exciting. We have lots coming up for NAMI El Paso, which is good.
You're the director of NAMI Walks. So take us through what we need to do in order to become part of NAMI Walks on October 5th.
Sure. So you could go to namiwalks.org/El Paso. And that's our website where you can register for free as a walker or a team captain or a sponsor, or you can just donate to our walk. If you aren't available October 5th, I know there's lots of things going on in El Paso that week. We would be happy to have you as a virtual walker. You still sign up as a walker, but you can fundraise. You can put our link onto your Facebook page. I put the link on up to my walk page on my Facebook. In about half hour, I had $100 for NAMI, which is awesome because all the money is used to support El Paso, to support people here who have a mental illness or their family member has a mental illness and they need our support. So that would be the easiest way to find all of our information about NAMI walks. Otherwise, you can check out NAMI El Paso Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/NAMI.ElPaso. I'm always posting information on there. Or, of course, you can call our office at 915-534-5478.
Lots of people, since the last time we talked, have contacted us either by email or by just picking up the phone and calling the radio station to ask a little bit more about National Alliance on Mental Illness and the services that are available to people here in the Desert Southwest.
Yes, of course. NAMI is actually the largest grassroots organization for the mentally ill. And we are lucky enough to have an affiliate here in El Paso. So anywhere you move to, there would be a NAMI, but here in El Paso, we do have our own. And we offer educational classes and support groups to our community at no cost. So we have a family-to-family class, which is 12 weeks long. They meet every Saturday, and they learn about what is a mental illness, how can they help their family member who has a mental illness, the medications, everything that you want to know. That's what they teach family members. We're also just starting up a peer-to-peer class, which would be the same thing for peers, for someone who actually has a mental illness themselves, for them to go learn about what's going on in their own body. We do a support group every Monday night at UBH, which is 1900 Denver. That's where that's located. They let us use their space, which is so kind of them. There we hold a support group. In one room is for the family member, and in a separate room is for the peer. So it's confidential, and it's free. You can go. It's every Monday night, 7 to 9, UBH. Just show up. You don't have to call. But, yeah, we also offer those. And, of course, we do different community presentations and events like NAMI Walks. We do a candlelight vigil and other things in our community to just really promote awareness of mental illness.
There's a lot of events in order to support NAMI. There are a lot of things that point in the direction of NAMI. But sadly enough, recently in the news, a week and a half ago on a Monday, an individual from Texas walked into a naval yard in Washington, D.C. and shot and killed 12 people. Then he was taken down himself, and it turns out subsequently during the investigation that this individual had mental illness issues going into this whole thing. I have a friend of mine who's a psychiatrist, and strictly off the record, he noted to me that it sounded like a classic case of schizophrenia with an edge. And I thought, okay, if that's the case, why didn't anybody catch it along the way?
Right. And a lot of the times it has to be the individual themselves who catch it. One of the first symptoms of mental illness would be psychosis. And that would be one of the first things, which could be hallucination or delusion or something of those sorts. That's the most common way that anyone could tell that they may have something wrong with them. It's obviously frightening and confusing and completely distressing to the individual who has this, but it's treatable. Obviously, they need to go get medical care. They need to go see their regular doctor where they can do comprehensive assessment and they can really figure out what's going on, because there's many other things that the brain could be affected by that isn't just mental illness. But yeah, if an individual, you know, has that psychosis. They kind of have this situation that is new to them. They should get help and they should check it out. I'm glad that you addressed that situation that happened last week. 90% of people who commit suicide have been diagnosed with a mental illness. So only 10% of the people that are committing suicide haven't been diagnosed, but they very well may have a mental illness, but were never diagnosed by a doctor. Substance abuse is going to increase the risk of someone who would commit suicide, and 1 in 3 people who die from suicide are intoxicated at the time that they commit it. So it's completely unfortunate that that individual felt that he had to take his own life, especially that he had to take other people's lives. He really could have gotten help. NAMI would have been there for him. I know his doctors would have been there for him. It's treatable. Like, you can be treated. You can be treated to really lower your symptoms, to cope, to learn how to live your everyday life and not have situations like that happen.
There was one of the things that I noted, Mallory, that you brought up here, is that once you detect it, it can be treated as long as that person is directed in that direction. And it strikes me, the Washington Post article that I read that goes into great detail about this individual and all of the friends and relatives surrounding him who said, oh, well, you know, he used to hear voices and he would talk to people. You know, in the restaurant that he worked at, it was a Thai restaurant in Washington, and he would talk to the patrons and everything would be good, and then he'd go out and he would shoot somebody's tires out. And it's like, okay, so this mood swing, didn't this kind of like trigger you to tell somebody about this?
Right, and NAMI often is quoted saying, everyone knows someone, but no one wants to say it. So if we were all more open in saying, I know someone who has a mental illness, I have a mental illness, it's genetics in my family, I may end up with a mental illness someday, I think more people would be willing to say, hey, you need to seek help, or yeah, I need to seek help. I think if America as a whole was more open about it, mm-hmm. I think more people would be treated. And yeah, it is treatable in the sense that you can recover. You can get medications, you can go through psychotherapy, and of course just general lifestyle choices can help you cope with your mental illness. Again, for a lot of people, it's a chemical imbalance in the brain, so that may never go away, but medicine will definitely help. Psychotherapy will definitely help. The love from your family and friends, getting them involved, getting involved with NAMI, being with a support group of people who just really care about you, that can lead to your recovery for sure.
Absolutely. One of the things that I note about these issues, people will now take alcoholism mm-hmm. and say, okay, well, I'm an alcoholic. I've gone to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm taking care of that. Great. You have cancer survivors who have their support groups. But when it comes to mental illness, everybody has a tendency to just put their hands up and say, it's not me. But isn't the statistic 1 in 4?
Yeah, 1 in 4 adults. Yes, definitely. 1 in 4 adults are diagnosed with a mental illness. 1 in 10 children are diagnosed with mental illness. It does not discriminate. There's not one race or one gender, one ethnicity that is more likely to have mental illness or suffer. Of course, there's illnesses that, you know, men may have a certain illness more than a woman might. But nope, it doesn't discriminate. It's a medical condition that seriously disrupts your thinking and your thoughts and your moods. It's no one can help it. And it's here. It's in El Paso. It's in Texas. It's in America. And it's in this world. And we need to talk about it.
Could be in your neighborhood. One of the things, again, that you brought up is that this is Suicide Prevention Month. We're at the tail end of it. But every day should be Suicide Prevention mm-hmm. Day. Every day of your life. Because everyone who listens to this show right now has probably been touched by someone, either a close friend, a relative. Someone may have done the ultimate deed, the commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And then the questions remain, why would the person do that? How could a person do that sort of a thing? And for some people, it's not a rational act. They don't understand what would push a person to the brink.
Right. And for one who doesn't have a mental illness, it would be very hard for them to understand it or to grasp that situation. It's a tragedy, nonetheless. I truly believe that people do not commit suicide. I believe that people are dying from mental illness. I believe that their mental illness became so much that they couldn't bear, or they weren't getting adequate treatment, or they didn't have support from their family or friends. And for people who are in this situation, I really recommend them to turn to NAMI. I think if they came to NAMI Walks, they could walk to celebrate the life of the one that they lost or celebrate the life of the one who's still here with us. And I also think that if they join NAMI, they would see that they're not alone, mm-hmm. you know, that there's other people who have been in that situation who can help, who can prevent things like that from happening in the future.
I agree. In this business of broadcasting, I've lost two people who were somewhat close to me mm-hmm. over the last 46 years now through suicide. Mm-hmm. But both of them were also chemical dependent.
Okay.
So the chances are really good that both of them were quite intoxicated and inebriated at the point where they decided to depart.
Right. And like I had just said before, one in three people who do commit suicide are intoxicated at the time. So if you just take out doing, you know, whatever it is, like alcohol, heroin, any of those drugs, that'll decrease your likelihood that you feel that you might have a suicidal thought or that you feel that you should commit suicide, because of course no one should do that.
Some people have argued over the years that a person who claims they're going to commit suicide, that's a cry for help, whereas the other ones who commit suicide just knew that they were going to do it because.
I mean, I would like to think that everyone does it hoping that they'll make it through.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to rationalize anyone's decision. I don't agree with anyone's decision to commit suicide. I feel like they could have treated their mental illness. I feel like there are people who do care, especially me, especially all of us down at the NAMI office, and you. You can't rationalize it. It's just so horrific. And a lot of times it's kind of an out-of-body experience. Maybe you were going through a depressive state. Maybe you were hallucinating at the time that you did it. Like, you just really need to be helped. You really need to be surrounded by everyone you love, and that's what NAMI is here for.
Desperation, notwithstanding, is oftentimes a driving tool in order to achieve that ultimate goal of suicide. There were a number of professors over the last 30 years that I can remember here at the university who've gone through that,
mm-hmm.
who were so desperate over some issue that they felt they had to take that last step. And again, if only someone had intervened in each one of those mm-hmm. lives and said, look, you really need help. We love you. Come with. We're going to take you and get some help so you don't do that.
Right. And NAMI or your doctor or your psychiatrist or a good friend, that should always be like your first and your last step. You can call us at any time. I'm sure family and friends care. People that you meet at our support groups, they're always available too. So I don't think that should be the last step for anyone. The last step should be going through classes, getting help, like taking yourself to a hospital. Sometimes drastic measures are needed for drastic change in someone's life. And I really believe that every human being is worthwhile without any proof. They all deserve to live this life. Whether they think they like their life or they don't like their life, it'll get better and they're not alone.
Absolutely. You're listening to El Paso Primetime. Mallory Jacobson is our guest, and we're talking about NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. The upcoming walk next week on October 5th is NAMI Walks. You can get involved so many different ways in order to do that. But let's go ahead and give them a phone number and an address so that, or not a physical address, but a website.
Yeah, sure. So you can call us at 915-534-5478. And if anyone does want to stop by our office, you're more than welcome to, because we have books and movies and brochures of all kinds, and we're there to talk to you so that you can learn about mental illness or learn about other resources, because oftentimes, you know, we might have someone who's suffering from alcoholism and we can give them resources for those things too. We're located at 4615 Alameda, and we're actually in the El Paso Psych Center. They donate us some office space, so we're there. So anyone is welcome to stop by. Otherwise, you can go to NAMI.org, and then it'll prompt you to click a state, which you would click Texas and then El Paso. Otherwise, if you're listening from out of town, I'm sure where you live has an affiliate as well. So just go to NAMI.org and you can find about what's going on, all of our information, everything that you might need. And also NAMIWalks.org/El Paso is our NAMI Walks website, which is separate. So yes, either of those is a great way to contact us.
An incredible organization, Mallory. And I have to tell you, after Googling NAMI Walks, mm-hmm. just to see where it would take me, there must have been at least 4,500 hits, which was wonderful.
Yeah?
And
good.
It took me to everybody and everything who's doing what walk and wherever. And, you know, that's a good thing. And there are still more communities around the country that need to get involved in creating a NAMI walk situation so that you walk for a loved one or you walk for yourself and know that people care. I care. You care. We all do.
Right. Yeah. There's about 80 different walk sites in America, which is really awesome. So maybe you have family from out of state. They can walk as well in their community. And it's really fun because we have different sponsors or we have different teams or families who come together and they band together with their friends, coworkers, whoever, and they create these walk teams. And again, the walk is totally free. We have a DJ and a motivational speaker and just tons of fun stuff, some free food. It's good for teams to come together. They kind of get to celebrate, have a little fun activity about mental illness because it's often so sad, and then walk to celebrate how far we've come mm-hmm. and how far we have to go. I think NAMI Walks is really great. Of course, I planned the whole thing. but no, I really think all of El Paso should become involved because it's fun and it's a way to get back to your community. And again, you don't have to necessarily have a mental illness yourself, or neither does a family member. Oftentimes we have students who are going to school but to become psychologists or nurses or are interested just in the brain. And so they come too because you can learn a lot no matter who you are.
I think people forget that the brain, just like everything else in our system, is organic.
Mm-hmm. Right. The brain can change at any point in your life. Most often, individuals with a mental illness are going to be diagnosed in their 20s due to social changes and to the makeup of their body. They're still growing. It's kind of the end cap of your growing stage. So oftentimes, that's when you see mental illness. That's when you see the change in the brain. The chemical makeup really comes out. It's you're right. You're definitely right that it can be affected just like any other part of your body.
Mm-hmm. And you never know when it's going to happen.
Yes, exactly. So there might be a listener right now who thinks, oh, I don't have a mental illness. I don't know anyone who has a mental illness and changes the station. Well, no, because someone could be diagnosed when they're 50, when they're 60. You could be diagnosed tomorrow. You just never know when it's going to come up, when your social or your physical makeup is really going to bring it out.
No, chronic depression for me came at 33.
Right. It came at 15 for me. So
okay, so people have to understand there are people around you who have mental illness and are coping, but you probably have someone in your family, someone close to you at work, someone in your circle of friends who's dealing with something and is not wanting to tell you about it because there's a stigma. Get rid of the stigma and treat it.
Right. We're all about reducing the stigma, stomping it out. It doesn't belong here at all. You should not be saying things like, oh, you're crazy, or that person's acting bipolar. Those aren't words to describe someone. Those are not adjectives. Those are completely inappropriate. I think that the community really needs to work together to support those individuals. We wouldn't create stigma around someone who has cancer. So why would we do that around someone who has mental illness, which is essentially the same thing? You know, it's essentially a part of your body that's not really working in tune with you anymore.
And those words, quite frankly, it's like hammering a nail into a board. And then when you decide, oh, let me apologize for what I just said, you pull the nail out and there's a hole in the board.
Right.
So that hole represents the hurt that's already been done because of something said like, oh, you're crazy, like you said. You know, these things that are said in the heat of the moment,
right?
You have no idea how those things hurt.
Right. No, exactly. It's almost bullying, really. In children, you notice, you know, maybe your child is losing interest in doing things. Maybe they're hypersensitive. Maybe you think they are getting bullied at school. Oftentimes, small situations like that can lead to dramatic measures, can lead to, you know, a mental illness or just some kind of behavior disorder that really needs to get looked at in the future. So I think being a kind human being is really, really vital into prevention of mental illness or any type of disorder or hurt feelings at that.
Mm-hmm. It starts at home.
Right.
It really does. And as a parent, you have to be very cognizant about your child. Notice the things. Notice the little things that are happening. If there's a change in pattern of behavior, you got to find out what it is and just don't blow it off.
Right, exactly. A lot of times situations like that can be a cry for help, or maybe the child or the individual doesn't realize that there is something wrong. So you just always need to be aware of changes in people, even if it's in an older person, not just a younger person, because there could be something going on there. And the sooner you catch it, the sooner you can treat it, the sooner you can help that person and just be sure that they're being kept safe.
Again, you know, this whole program, El Paso Primetime, is designed to help people in the third age cope as we get older. Things start to fail. And
right.
One of the things that fails more than not, and we as collective third agers, mm-hmm. we tend to not believe that our brain is going to fail, and yet it does. It's just one of those things.
Right. It can happen to anyone, and it doesn't make you any less of a human being. You are still completely valuable to our society. It's just, you just need help like anyone else. And it's not a bad kind of help. It's just call NAMI. You know, if you're afraid of going to the doctor, to the hospital or something like that, call us and we can really talk you through it and make sure that you feel comfortable in whatever you're doing, because we want you to feel comfortable in your own skin.
Right. And you got to be comfortable wherever you happen to be. 534-5478 is the phone number. Tack on 915 if you're calling out of the area, or you can even email.
You can email me at namiwalksep@gmail.com.
And Mallory will help you with all that information that you'll need. And remember, it's all confidential, too. It's not like we're going to go out and put it up on a billboard and say, oh, look.
Of course. Yes, we do have a sign-in sheet when you go to a support group. But by no means do you have to write your name or tell anyone your name. That's just because we get local grants that we can put on all of our activities, which are at no cost to the general public. So that's the only reason why we would ever ask anyone's name, really, or we would ask your phone number to be sure that we can help you whenever you may need it, because we want to contact you as well.
One of the things I don't think that we've talked enough about, and it happens to just about everyone that I've ever seen, mm-hmm. is a neurosis. It's different from a psychosis, but a neurosis, being a... You hear it often, especially like at the stores, you're so neurotic, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, whoa, back off. What is it that really stresses you out? That's where NAMI comes in. If there's something that stresses you, give them a call.
Exactly. Any situation, you might think that you had a situation and you're like, I don't know, do I have a mental illness? Do I not? You're listening to this and you're thinking, oh my gosh, is this me? It could be, it could not be. The first step is to go to your doctor. The second step is to come to us. We are here for you for any type of support you may need. Diagnosis will allow you to just really get in control of your life, because mental illness does affect so many different aspects of your life that it'll allow you to feel more in control of who you are and more comfortable with who you are.
Advocacy is always a key, and what NAMI does for the community, and this is one long community. It goes down to Alpine, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have a lot of people in our life. Yeah.
but you advocate for mental health, basically. It's like if you're ill, let us know.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing.
Right. We love to do different advocacy efforts in reducing stigma as well. I often attend different support groups for other disorders or diseases here in El Paso, or I'll go to some people's works, or we have other volunteers who, you know, will help out police officers or just really anyone so that they can learn what mental illness is, because it is everywhere and it's not going to go away. So that's our job, really, is just to make sure everyone knows what mental illness is, make sure that they know that it is okay and that there is help, and that our help is free as well. But even if you don't turn to NAMI, I really suggest that you turn to your doctor, because they're willing to help as well.
The best thing to do, though, is if you're in an organization and you would like more information and have one of you, maybe yourself or
yeah,
a volunteer.
Exactly.
Just give you guys a call.
Yeah, just give me a call on the date, and more than likely I'll open my schedule because I love it. I love telling people about mental illness. I feel like it's my way of saying I've recovered. This is what I've learned. Let me share it with you so that everyone else can recover too.
See, and that's basically why this is happening now, so that we knock down the stigma, all of us together.
Right.
It's not just you. It's not just NAMI. It's me. It's the radio station. It's you, the listener. It's everyone who has been touched in some form or another, just keep knocking down those walls, because we really have to get a handle on this.
Right. And as the more people don't just know about NAMI or mental illness, but the more they come involved in advocating, I'm not asking anyone to shout from the rooftop or picket signs anywhere, but if you were just to donate or to volunteer to join our organization, it's just $35 to become a member of NAMI, and then you get our newsletter every month sent to you so you can know exactly what's going on. Join our walk, just take some form of action. Just if you heard us saying this, maybe tell someone on your drive home about what you listened to. That's how the world will change. That's how we'll become a better place.
And you were sharing with me before we went on air today that UTEP now has a chapter.
Yeah, there's a NAMI on campus, it's called. So there's going to be its own affiliate here at UTEP, actually. And if you want more information about that, the best way currently, since this is brand new, is just to go to Facebook and type in NAMI El Paso on campus or something of that sort. Or if you go just to the NAMI Facebook page, we have a link on there as well. So, yeah, if you're a student or a faculty member and you want to get involved just in UTEP instead of NAMI El Paso, you can totally turn to them as well.
And if you feel as though you may not be ready to take that next step, find me here at the radio station, and we'll talk one-on-one quietly and discreetly, and we'll just get you help.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
Yes, it is. And you can't change it, and it's okay. And life will go on. Everyone mm-hmm. is worthwhile. So
I think so, too. Let's go over this one more time, Mallory, about NAMI Walks coming up Saturday, October 5th at Memorial Park.
Yep, Saturday, October 5th, 9 a.m. The Walk Fun is going to start while we have all of our different activities. And if you don't register online, which I do recommend you do, you can register the day of as well. Again, it's a free walk. We would love if you to fundraise. If you fundraise $100 or more, you get a free NAMI Walks t-shirt, which is kind of cool. They look awesome.
Yep.
And then it's at Memorial Park, so we'll be meeting in like the reserve area. That's where all the pre-walk activities are, and then the walk will be in Memorial Park.
Nice. And you can even register the day of?
Yeah, you can. You can totally come that morning and just sign up, and we would love to have anyone. Whoever wants to come is more than welcome.
All that information will be up on our website on ktep.org. It's also on namiwalks.org/El Paso.
Correct.
Okay. Very nice. Mallory, anything else that we didn't touch on that we need to talk about?
I mean, there's always so much to talk about in terms of mental health, but I just want to thank you for having me back on. And again, if any listeners feel like they need help, we are here for them.
Mallory Jacobson's been our guest with El Paso Primetime, talking about NAMI Walks coming up next Saturday at Memorial Park. It's Walking for Mental Health. Call 915-534-5478. You can reach Mallory through email again.
Mm-hmm. It's namiwalksep@gmail.com.
You can talk to her at that same phone number as well. Out of the area code, it's 915-534-5478. Mallory, thank you so much. Mikasa Sukasa, anytime.
Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. We had help this week from two new production assistants, Belinda Fernandez and Ingrid Flores. Post-production by Teddy Brodeer at Edmonton Sound and Vision, Alberta, Canada. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to this edition of El Paso Primetime.